Good morning. Happy that you're here today. I want to invite you, if you're so inclined, we're going to begin with a word of prayer, and I invite you to open your hands before the Lord, if you'd like. Let's pray together. Our Holy Father, we come before you today with hands open. We come before you acknowledging we have nothing to offer you, but that we are utterly and totally dependent on all that you give. And so we come with hands ready to receive your blessings, with hearts that are open, ready to take in your truth, with minds that are ready to receive the message of your Spirit. I pray, Father, that you would speak to us today, that you would help us to come today to your word with humility. And we confess our pridefulness and our arrogance. And we confess that we need you. Thank you, Almighty God, for being a Father to us. For we are your people. We are your temple, and we ask that you fill this place, you fill the hearts of the people gathered here, that we might be a temple of your Holy Spirit this day. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I really don't like tomatoes. In fact, you might say I hate them. I just don't like them. I don't know why. And my grandfather, he used to always say, "Boy, you're not a Jones if you don't like tomatoes." Because Grandpa, he loved them. He loved them so much that when he would plant a garden, about 95% of the things in the garden were different varieties of tomatoes. I mean, he had every kind you can imagine. I can't even remember. There were pink ladies. There were these tomatoes that he grew that were these huge, really big tomatoes. Those were his favorite. I mean, every kind you can imagine. The Beefmaster tomatoes, he grew those too. He grew every kind of tomato you can imagine, and he loved them. And I remember distinctly that one summer day when, as a boy, I went with Grandpa out to his tomato garden. And he asked me to help him to position some of those tomato vines growing up the trellis that he had placed there between the rows. And I can remember watching him, my grandfather, who I looked up to so much because he was kind of a John Wayne type. He was a man's man. He was a very strong outdoorsman type of individual. Very tall, very strong, and always wearing bib overalls. And I can remember seeing him, and I was surprised when, only after taking just a few steps down the row of the tomatoes, he had to stop and sit down on a bale of hay because he was out of breath. Grandpa had been diagnosed with 3 different types of cancer. They were unrelated, but he had them all at the same time. He had cancer of the bladder, he had some type of skin cancer, and he also had non-Hodgkin's lymphoma, which he began to take treatments for. And the treatments, of course, as many of you know, had completely taken the wind out of his sails and zapped all of his energy. And so the man that I knew to be such a strong man now had been reduced to being very weak and frail. And it was disturbing to that 16-year-old boy to see that. I can remember him being so tired and so sick, and yet that particular Sunday, he was where he always was. If you walked into the church building, the far right amen corner, there sat Grandpa. He never sat with Grandma. She sat on the opposite side of the church building. They always did that. Had a great marriage. They loved each other, but they never sat together at church. And he sat over here on the far right amen corner in the same place where he always was, but I could just tell by his demeanor and by the look on his face that he felt absolutely horrible. So after church that day, I went up to Grandpa and I asked him, I said, "Grandpa," I said, "I know you feel terrible. I saw you last week in the tomato garden, and I know that you feel absolutely horrible. And knowing that, and knowing the way that you feel, why in the world are you here at church? Because I know you don't feel like being here. And I will never, ever forget what he told me. He said, I will feel bad if I'm at home, and I will feel bad if I'm here. And I would rather be here. It made a tremendous impact on me that day whenever he said that, because what that showed me was that Grandpa believed. He believed deeply that no matter what was going on in life, no matter how dark the days were, that when you came together with God's people to worship God, there was a joy to be found there. That there is a joy that we acknowledge when we welcome God's presence. There is something that wells up inside of us that says, no matter what's going on in life, I can sing with joy because my joy is not dependent upon any of the stuff of this life. My joy is in Him. And so I can sing with joy no matter what's happening in life. When you come here today and you come to gather with other believers in an assembly for the purpose of community worship of God, we all come here today and we sit in a pew, and when we come to the assembly, we all bring somebody with us. I wonder who's sitting with you today. Now, I'm not literally saying your spouse, your husband, your wife, your grandmother, a friend, or whoever. I'm saying, not physically, but metaphorically, who did you bring with you today when you came to worship? Who is sitting beside you? I know for some of you here today, you are sitting there coming together to God, into God's presence with a gathering of believers to worship Him, and you are sitting battling cancer. For some of you, you're sitting there and you're on the edge of tremendous relational turmoil, maybe even the prospect of a divorce. And you brought all of that baggage with you. How could you not when you came to worship this morning? Maybe you're sitting there and you're worshiping God, but every nerve in your body is just firing because you're in constant chronic pain. I know some of you are dealing with that. And that's who's sitting with you this morning. For others of you, like our sister Bonnie Beatty, who just lost our beloved brother Tom, some of you are sitting there with unspeakable grief that is ravaging your spirit when you come to worship God. In fact, I know for a fact, many of you have told me that have lost loved ones, that many times the most difficult thing for you to do is to come back to church. And I want you to know, I get it. I understand that. And I think the Lord understands that too, because you're used to coming with that loved one to church, and now they're not here. And some of you are sitting with that reality even as we speak. Some of you literally are staring death in the face, maybe because of a diagnosis or maybe because of grief or whatever reason, and you brought that with you today when you came to gather with God's people. Who is sitting with you today? I want to tell you that when it comes to worshiping God, this sounds counterintuitive, but it is absolutely so true. Praise to God is the most powerful when it is peppered with pain. It is the most powerful. And you say, how can that be? Because when you come to worship God, realizing all of the stuff you're sitting with, and yet you come because you'd rather be here. You'd rather be with God. You'd rather be in God's presence. You'd rather be with God's people. You are acknowledging that my hope, my security, my confidence lies in something beyond anything that I came sitting with today. And whenever you praise God in the midst of your pain. Just like Job did when he had everything taken from him, when he was stripped of all of his children, and he was stripped of all of his possessions, and he was laid bare. And what does Job say? He says, "The Lord gives and the Lord takes away. Blessed be the name of the Lord." And when you see that kind of praise to God, that even in the midst of unbelievable sorrow and grief, you still sing with joy because your joy is not found here, it's found over there. That's when praise is the most powerful. But you might be thinking, I know some of you are, this is part three in our series, Sing with Joy. And as I thought about this series and the first two lessons in the series, it occurred to me last week when I was on vacation that some of you are probably sitting there knowing the things you're sitting with when you come to worship, and you're hearing a preacher bring a series of lessons called Sing with Joy, and you're thinking to yourself, how in the world do you think I can do that? How do you think I can come and sing with joy, knowing what I'm bringing with me and what I'm sitting with when I come to praise God? It's all I can do to even get here. It's all I can do to even make eye contact with the song leader. It's all I can do to even mouth a whisper of some of the hymns that we sing. And you're saying I should sing with joy? How can I sing with joy? You don't have any idea who I'm sitting with, you may be thinking. And I may not. I may not understand what you brought with you and what you're sitting with when you come this morning. But if I may, if you'll allow me, can I tell you who's sitting with you today? When you come to worship God, can I tell you who's sitting beside you, whether you realize it or not? Do you know really who is sitting with you when you come to worship God? Do you know who is really there? I want to share with you four passages real quickly this morning. The first is in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verses 24 through 25. Listen to what the Bible says about when Christians come together to worship God. The early church would come together and they would praise God with all the spiritual gifts that they had at their disposal. And they would give God their praise. And Paul says regarding this gathering of believers, if an unbeliever or an inquirer comes in to the assembly while anyone is prophesying, they are convicted of sin, they are brought under judgment by all as the secrets of their heart are laid bare. In other words, what Paul is saying is, the Christians have come together to worship God. There's prophecy happening. There's all these different spiritual gifts that are taking place. And an unbeliever, someone outside the community of faith, comes into your assembly. They come in. They're curious. They're an inquirer. They've got questions. They're looking for something. And they come among you. And who comes to sit beside you? An unbeliever. And what will they see whenever they see God's people who praise Him with joy despite anything that is going on in your life because your hope lies over there and not here? What will they see? They will see people that have a confidence and a hope in something far better. And when they see that, they, the unbeliever, the inquirer, he or she will fall down on their face and worship God, saying, God is really among you. God is among you. Let me tell you who's sitting with you when you came to worship this morning. God is among us. I must say, I do it too. But it's always bothered me. I can remember the first time that it really kind of hit me. I was probably about 22 years old, and I was preaching in a small country church when I realized that everybody that had ever been leading in worship that day, whether the prayer leader or the song leader or the people at the communion table, I realized, you know, we're all talking about God like He's not here. We talk about Him in the third person like He's in a far distant place, like it's a long distance telephone conversation. And I started to feel so convicted and think, you know, I often do that. I want you to know this morning, family, friend, brother, sister, God is really here. He's among us. The second one is Psalm 22 and verse 3. If you're reading from the NIV or some other translation, you may see a different rendering, but I'll tell you that the English Standard Version, the New American Standard Version, I think the King James and the New King James, some of those translations actually do a better job literally translating this verse, because the verse is highly metaphorical. And literally what the verse says is, regarding God, you are holy. God is holy. He is worthy to be praised. We should reverence and respect Him and bow before His holy presence. And now notice this. He is enthroned on the praises of Israel. In this metaphorical language, the psalmist is saying, if you'll picture it in your mind, God sitting on His throne. And what is the foundation under which His throne is sitting? The praises of God's people. So if you're suffering, if you're struggling, and your tendency is to complain, and your tendency is to say, oh, woe is me, or I don't understand why this is happening, I will say to you and challenge myself that in those moments, praise God. Because when you praise God, you know you've come into His presence. And God makes His dwelling, He is enthroned on our praises. So who are you sitting with this morning? I want you to know God is sitting on His throne right here in the midst of our praises this morning as we've been lifting them before Him in worship. Thirdly, Hebrews chapter 2, verses 11 and 12. Beautiful passage that is talking about how Jesus is worthy of all of our adoration and praise because Jesus is unlike any angel. There is no angel to which God ever said, you are my beloved one. God, not only is Jesus much better than all the angels, He's better than any high priest that ever served in the temple. But why is Jesus so much better? The reason Jesus is better is because He became one of us. He knows you. He understands you. He gets it. So Jesus is not ashamed to call you and me brother, sister. I want you to think about the gravity of that for a moment. That the God, the Creator, Jesus, the Word that existed from all before all creation, that was with God, that was God, that spoke all things into existence. He was willing to humble Himself and come down here and become one of us and say to you, you're my brother. You're my sister. Now get this. He says, who? Jesus. Jesus says this. Here is something Jesus says that is outside of the Gospels. So your Bible may not put these words of Christ in red, but these are the words of Jesus. These are red letters. Jesus says, I will declare your name, God the Father, I will declare your name to my brothers and sisters. In the assembly, I will sing your praises. Do you know who's sitting with you this morning? Who's sitting beside you on the pew when you give your praise to God, when you sing with joy? Do you know who's singing in our chorus this morning? Jesus Christ Himself is sitting beside you saying, I'm part of the assembly. And I'm sitting with my brothers and my sisters. And as I sit with them, and as we sing together to God the Father, in the assembly, I will join the song and sing God's praises. Jesus is here, sitting with you this morning. And then fourth and finally, an Old Testament verse, Zephaniah chapter 3 and verse 17. The Lord your God is with you, the mighty warrior who saves. He will take great delight in you. In his love, he will no longer rebuke you, but will rejoice over you with singing. I love this passage of Scripture because it gives us tremendous insight into the God we serve. What insight does it give? It gives us this insight. A lot of times I tend to think only in terms of when I come together to worship God, that I, you and me, us together, we are just singing to God in praise. And we are. We're singing to God, and God is enthroned on our praises. Jesus Christ, as my brother, is sitting beside me, joining in the song and singing praise to God in the assembly. And we're singing to God, but not only, I want you to know, are we singing to Him this morning, He is singing back. God the Father in heaven, as He hears our praise, He receives it. He receives that worship. But then all of a sudden, the mighty warrior, our God the Lord, He begins to sing a song too. And His song is one where He rejoices over His people. And He sings a song of celebration that we are His children. Do you realize who's sitting with you this morning? In closing, Psalm 30 and verse number 5. It says, weeping may stay for the night, but joy comes in the morning. You might be weeping now. You might have come with great grief, with great sorrow, with great sickness, with great struggling. And when you came into the assembly, that's who you brought with you, and that's who sat down beside you. But let me tell you something this morning. No matter what you brought with you this morning, that weeping may stay for a night, but joy comes in the morning. Joy, no matter how dark the day may be, joy is coming. And when you know that joy is coming, then you can sing with joy regardless of what's going on in your life. And I'm going to tell you, when you sing that way, praise is the most powerful when it is peppered with pain. When you sing through the pain because you realize that your hope lies somewhere else. I have enjoyed for years the reality of that truth that has been so beautifully, in an artistic way, put on full display in the 2006 song by Casting Crowns, I Will Praise You in This Storm. I'm going to read a section of the song to you. I was sure by now, God, you would have reached down and wiped our tears away, stepped in and saved the day. But once again, I say amen, and it's still raining. As the thunder rolls, I barely hear you whisper through the rain, I'm with you. And as your mercy falls, I raise my hands and praise the God who gives and who takes away. And I'll praise you in this storm. And I will lift my hands, for you are who you are, no matter where I am. And every tear I've cried, you hold in your hand. You never left my side. And though my heart is torn, I will praise you in this storm. That's how you can sing with joy, no matter what. Because you know the God who holds every tear in His hand. When you know the truth that God is with us, God is among us. When you know the truth that God is dwelling in our praises. When you know the truth that Jesus is sitting beside you as your brother lifting praise to God in the assembly, when you know that God Himself rejoices over us with singing, when you know all of that, no matter how dark things may be, you can know that joy is on the way. And that is what enables you and me that no matter what, we can sing with joy. This morning, let me ask you, have you come this morning with great burdens? Jesus is the one that can lift your load. Jesus is the one that can bear the burden that you can no longer bear. And Jesus says, come to me if you're weak, if you're weary, and I will give you rest. Come to me. Take my yoke upon you. It is easy. And my load is light. And you will find rest for your soul. Maybe you need to come to Him this morning. Maybe you need to come and know a joy that transcends every situation and circumstance. You need to feel and taste and see the goodness of God and know it to the very depths of your soul. If you need to come in belief, repentance, confession, and baptism to Jesus, we would invite you to do so. Or if you just need prayers from your family, if you just need encouragement, we would invite you to come as well. If we can help you, come to Christ as we stand and as we sing.